You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
So, hey, we're talking Thomas today, and I think it's so cool how God does some of this stuff. Again, this is over a year ago I planned this out, and here we are prayerfully planning this out, and so here we are thinking about doubt and what does it look like in this. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus and sometimes have doubt? And that word disciple, as you've heard over the last few weeks, mathetes, is an active verb. It's a thing that we're constantly doing and consistently doing. It's a lifelong learner, and that you and I have had this moment where hopefully that Jesus has looked you intently in the eyes and said, come follow me, and you've had the choice to follow or to not follow. And my hope is that you've chosen to follow. And as you follow Jesus, that you are on a journey, that he moves you from a beginning point, and that he has an end point for you. Ultimately, that's heaven, but also that there's going to be moments where he has some defining moments in your faith journey, and that he's preparing you for some of those, as we've seen that in all the disciples, whether it's Peter or Matthew or Mary and Martha. And today, we're looking at Thomas. And what's interesting about Thomas is I think he's so much like us in that we don't even know how he was called. We don't even know how and when Jesus intently looked him in the eyes. All we know is he's a disciple because his name was in the list. But if you've been around church long enough, you know that Thomas is known as the doubter. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's what we call him. But I think we'll also see today, hopefully, that his doubts were real doubts, like our doubts can be, but also that there were times of great faith, and that he was the only one saying things when all the other disciples were doubting and wanting to run away from Jesus. And so hopefully, if Jesus is your rabbi and you're following in him and walking with him, that you'll maybe align with Thomas, maybe different than Peter or Mary and Martha or whatever. So here we are in Matthew chapter 10, and we see this list of disciples or apostles. And it says here are the names of the 12 apostles. First is Simon, who also became Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And James, John, James's brother. So we know those are the big names, right? You know their story. We've talked about them even over the last few weeks. And then here's these other guys, the ones that I would call lesser knowns, so to speak. And you have Philip, you have Bartholomew, and then this guy, Thomas. And we don't even know much about him, but we'll learn a little bit. We know about Matthew, tax collector. He was called out of the tax booth, and he was unliked. And then James, the son of Alphaeus. The reason they put son of Alphaeus is because they want us to know that it's not James, the son of Zebedee. And there's a little distinction there. And then we got this cool name, Thaddeus. I don't know why somebody would name their kid Thaddeus, but they do. And then Simon the Zealot. And they want us to know about the Zealot because the Zealot is different than Simon the Peter and all that. And then they put in this last guy, Judas Iscariot. And of course, we have hindsight for us as 2020. We know Judas because we know his story, but John is letting us know that people don't know. Matthew letting us know that they don't know his full story yet. And so who later betrayed him. And then we see in John chapter 11, this is moving forward in Thomas's story. And so if you'll remember with me in John chapter 11, this is when we have the resurrection of Lazarus, that Jesus comes back and resurrects, brings Lazarus back to life. And prior to this, Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus is sick. And so they send a note to Jesus and the disciples. And what had happened was Jesus and the disciples had been around Bethany and Jerusalem, and they'd caused a ruckus and people wanted to kill him. And so Jesus and his disciples had left that area for a little bit for things to calm down. It was part of it, but also because Jesus was going to bring Lazarus back to life and how to let Lazarus become dead, right? And so they have this discussion among the disciples, and the disciples, Peter, James, and John, all the cool guys that we know about, were like, hey, listen, it's not time enough yet. We don't know if it's going to be safe enough for us to go back. And Thomas, in a moment of courage amongst all of them, and you'll notice that it says Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Didymus. And so many scholars believe that that he was called the twin because he looked a lot like Jesus, so that he would be easily confused physically of being Jesus. And so that's interesting to think about, because if he looks a lot like Jesus, you would think he would not be the one to want to go back to the place because he could easily be confused for Jesus. And so here's the one that looks like Jesus the most of all the disciples, and he's the twin of Jesus, and he says, let's go to, I want to die with Jesus. Does that sound like doubting to you? That sounds nowhere near done. As a matter of fact, that sounds convinced that he's convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. He's convinced that I should follow this guy, and all the other guys have just been taught to this point, and maybe I should have the better seat than James and John and Peter. He goes, I believe in this guy. Let's go with Jesus and let's die with him. If it's time to die, let's die. That sounds like courage to me, not doubt. And maybe that's your story. Maybe you've been in a place where you've like, man, I know that I am with Jesus, and I would go, I would count the cost, I'm counting the cost, and I will go with him. I will quit my job, I will do whatever. I will do whatever it takes for me to be a follower of Jesus in this moment, I will do it. You've been that convinced of who Jesus is. And then we jump forward a little bit in the story of Thomas and Jesus, and then you have this moment, when everything is ready, I will come and get you, and so that you will always be with me where I am. This is Jesus talking again, and you know the way to where I am going. And Jesus is basically saying to the disciples, hey, listen, I'm about to leave. You know where I'm going. And this is, I think, another courageous moment. Thomas looks at Jesus and says, we don't know, Lord. We don't have a map. We don't have GPS. Our iPhones are saying rerouting. We don't understand. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? And maybe that's your story too, is you're confident in moments of where Jesus is at, but then there's moments that he's saying, hey, I need you to go this way, or I want you to go there, and you know that in your heart and your soul that Jesus is leading you in a new way, and you're like, I need clarification. Jesus, let's pull out the maps together and let's put out a mark and let's make sure that I know for sure. And Jesus is like, listen, I just need you to take the first step. But we want like the 20th step, right? We want to know that, hey, we're going to turn right in Fayetteville and that we're going to stop for a burger here and all the different things. You got all the stuff. But Jesus is saying, listen, that's not how I work. I want you to know the way, and I am the way, and take the first step of faith. And so here's this guy, Thomas, who now is like, listen, I want to die for Jesus. And now like, listen, I don't know the way. And I know that sounds like my story. I'm hoping that sounds like your story too, is that there's moments where I'm confident that I'm confident. And then there's moments where I'm like, Jesus is leading. And I'm like, I don't know what's on the other end. And so I need to have a little bit more clarity on what's on the end of the destination so I can even begin to start. And Jesus says, am I not enough? Is the journey with me not enough? Don't worry about the destination. I know where I'm taking you. But that takes courage to take that first step. And then continuing on in his story, one of the 12 disciples, again, he's just one of them, right? It's not like, hey, it's Simon Peter. Hey, it's Matthew. It's just like one of the guys. And he happens to be nicknamed the twin of Jesus, which to me sounds really cool. I mean, you know, who knows? But he was a twin of others, and he wasn't there. This is after Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus shows up with the other disciples around. They're having a moment, and I'm sure they're grieving and all the discussions that they're having. And then they tell Thomas, when Thomas shows up a little bit later, hey, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas replies, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. He didn't just stop with just seeing, but he's like, I want to touch it. I want to put my finger through the side where he was pierced. I want to know that I know that I know that Jesus is alive. It wasn't enough for the 10 guys that he'd been doing life with for 3.5 years. Does he not trust them that they're telling them the truth? He's like, I want to know for sure. I want to see it with my own eyes. And I think that's some of our story too, is that some things in our life that God wants to do or has done in other people's lives, and you're like, I got to see that, I got to see. And Jesus responds to Thomas, and it says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. I imagine after he missed out, he was like, I'm not leaving the disciples. Wherever they're going, I'm going. I don't care what kind of business I got. I'm going to put it off my calendar. And so this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Okay, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them, and he says, peace be with you. Now listen, if the doors are locked at my house and you show up in the midst of it, there will not be peace. But can you imagine? I mean, that you're there, you're going about your business, you know the doors are locked. Again, why would the doors be locked? Because they are afraid for their life. They don't know if the religious leaders are coming after them next. The anticipation is they got Jesus, now they're coming after us. And so we're doing everything we can to hide and to be together and to be safe. And all of a sudden, the doors are locked and Jesus shows up among them and says, "Peace be with you." One, because he is peace, he brings peace, and he wants them to focus in on them in that moment. And he says, "Listen to Thomas." Now remember, Jesus wasn't there. But he tells Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side, and don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Now, if I were Thomas, I'd be like trying to get it, right? I mean, if you're like, "Hey, Jesus, I think this is Jesus, but this could be a ghost." Right? And so you're like, "Hey, this guy shows up." And so Thomas immediately sees him. Jesus talks to him in this moment. And what I think our natural reaction would be to run and hug him and to feel the hands, to feel the scars and say, "This, I know now because I've touched him." But Thomas doesn't even do that. He sees Jesus and he responds to him and he says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus showed up in the way that Thomas needed. Thomas said he needed all of this, but Jesus shows up and he's there in that moment. And then Jesus gives us encouragement, you and I encouragement, in those moments of doubt when we're like, "Jesus, I wish that you would show up in front of me. Jesus, I wish that I could touch you. Jesus, I wish that you would show up for me across from the coffee table and just have a conversation with me. Jesus, I need you." And he's like, "Listen, here's the encouragement for us. You believe," talking to Thomas, "you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." And that's you and I. We've never physically seen the person of Jesus Christ. And the only time that we will have the opportunity to see Jesus face to face is when we're not here, when we are resurrected to be in the presence of Jesus, the Lamb of God, in the presence of God. And we're going to be so distracted by being in the presence of God, we will see the nail-scarred hands, we will see the side that's pierced, but we will be in the presence and the glory of God, and all that stuff will fall away. Here's what I want you to think about this morning, is that there's levels of conviction. There's levels of conviction. Now, the first level of conviction is this, is what I say I believe. And it's real easy for us to profess that we're Christians. It's real easy for us to profess that we know and follow Jesus. And there's a lot of people that profess to be followers of Jesus, but there's not always the fruit of that. And so what is that? That's the first level, is what I say I believe. The second level is what I think I believe. That there have been moments where I thought I believed something, and maybe you thought you believed something, and God just kind of racked your world around it, or something happened, and maybe even something this week, and you're like, "I don't know if I believe in that anymore," or "I don't know if I believe it in the same way," and so you're struggling with that, and so you have some doubts around that. And then the third level of conviction is this, is what my actions reveal that I actually believe. So this week, in the midst of chaos and all of the stuff, my prayer is that in the doubts that you've had, that your actions revealed what you believe, and that you believe that Jesus is the solution to even the deepest things of life. And that instead of running to Facebook, instead of running to TikTok, instead of running to Fox News or CNN or whoever else that you run to, is that I hope and I pray that you run to Jesus. And that your actions have and will reveal that when you know that the world seems like it is shakable, that the only unshakable source of life is Jesus, and you run to that foundation. And that you anchor your life and your thoughts and your understandings and your hope and your peace and your joy and your happiness in Jesus. And that your actions move you to that place, because doubt is not the opposite of faith. It doesn't have to be. Doubt can drive us deeper into the Word, can drive us deeper into knowing, to deeper into immersion, that when you go jumping into the water, you don't want to just skim the top of the surface of the water. You want to go deep with Jesus. You want to be immersed with Him, and you want to know Him. You want to see the mysteries and the unknowables of the deep waters with Jesus. That you can know, that you can know, that you can know. That word in Scripture, know, means an experiential know. that it's not a knowing just with your mind. It's not just a knowing because your parents told you. It's a knowing because you've experienced with Jesus, and that when you said, "My Lord, my God," you jumped off the diving board into the deep end, and Jesus is there catching you, saying, "I've got you." Man, I think of my kids. It's hard to let them go. My house is quiet and I long for them. And I long as much as I long for my children to be home and to hear their laughter and to hear them pick on me, especially their mom. God the Father longs for us to be home. If you've left home, come home and dine with him. He's waiting. He's jealous for your affections. Come dine with him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for looking us intently in the eyes and calling us. And our faith story may be like Peter, it may be like Matthew, it may be like Mary and Martha's, and it may be more like Thomas, in that we have these moments of like, let's go die with Jesus, and we're all in, and then moments of like, I need to see more than this. I don't even know what direction you're taking me, Jesus. What I love is that Jesus is that you're okay with all of those. The direction you want us to go is home. One faith step at a time. So, Father, I pray for each one in this room that they know you. And if they don't, that they say yes to you today and they run home to Dad and jump into the deep end and know you. Know you fully. Because they can be fully known and loved by you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.